This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear respected guests, distinguished scholars, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As for now, we are about to start our program, inshallah. We humbly request for silence because there's too much noise in the hall. Please, we humbly request for silence in the hall. Jazakumullahu khaira. Now, this is an international peace conference organized by the Islamic Foundation in Tanzania. And this event or this conference is graced with the presence of the Islamic scholar Sheikh Dr. Zakir Naik, together with his son Farik Naik. Alhamdulillah. It is with immense pleasure and honor to welcome you all to this international peace conference organized by the Islamic Foundation. And we say to you all, you are welcome. أيها الحضور الكرام، نسعد اليوم بحضوركم ونسعد اليوم أن نجتمع معنا في هذا المؤتمر العالمي السلام، في مؤتمر السلام العالمي. ونرحبكم جميعا فنقول أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Now, we will go direct to our program, inshallah. And as for now, inshallah ta'ala, we will open our program with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is going to be given by the Imam of Mtoro Mosque and the mechanical engineer graduated from the UK and also the Managing Director of the Azam Marine Company Limited, Brother Abu Bakr Aziz Ali. Please welcome to the stage.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن هذا القرآن يهدي للتي هي أقوم ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا كبيرا وأن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة أعتدنا لهم عذابا أليما ويدعو الإنسان بالشر دعاءه بالخير وكان الإنسان عجولا وجعلنا الليل والنهار آيتين فمحونا آية الليل وجعلنا آية النهار مبصرة لتبتغوا فضلا من ربكم ولتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها ولا تزر وازرة وزر أخرى وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العظيم. Those were verses from the glorious book of Allah, from Surah Al-Isra. Jazakallah khair, Brother Abu Bakr. Now, I would like to open our conference officially, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, after opening it with the glorious book of Allah, by the opening remarks that will be given by the respected Shaykh Arif Al-Nahdi, the chairman of the Islamic Foundation. فَلْتَتَفَضَّلْ مَشْكُورًا مَأْجُورًا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسولنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد, ndugu zanguni katika imani, baada ya kumshukuru Allah subhana wa ta'ala kwa kutuwezesha kuleta ugeni huu mkubwa, mimi sitokuwa na mengi ya kuzungumza kwa sababu si mzungumzaji. Inshallah, karibuni sana na event nimeifungua rasmi. Jazakumullah khair.
Jazakallah khair, the chairman of the Islamic Foundation, for opening our peace international conference organized by the Islamic Foundation, and that was the chairman of the foundation. Jazakallah khair. Now, we are going to give the brief introduction of our first speaker of today. But before we go on with our first speaker, I would like to request for those who are seated in the back chairs to come a little bit. Please come close. Do not sit yourselves there in the back seating. Please, for the organizers, make sure the attendees are coming closer to the chairs. And now I'm going to give the short introduction of Sheikh Fariq Naik. At 30 years of age, is the son of the world famous orator on Islam and comparative religion, Dr. Zakir Naik. He has completed his A-level CIE UK at Islamic International School and Junior College in Mumbai. Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Fariq Naik became a hafiz of the Quran at the age of 13 while studying at school. At the tender of age of 8, while on da'wah trips with his father, Fariq Naik started giving short talks in front of thousands of people in Chennai, Pune, Dubai, Italy, Trinidad, and other cities of the world. In 2003, at the age of 9, He addressed over 50,000 people in Srinagar and a larger audience in Hyderabad in 2006 at the age of 12. Sheikh Farid Naik is also an accomplished sportsman, particularly in football, swimming, karate, and judo. Sheikh Farid Naik was the youngest speaker at 15 years amongst the over Islamic speakers that came from 15 different countries in one of the world's largest English Islamic conferences, the International Islamic Da'wah Conference Peace, the Solution for Humanity, held in November 2009 in Mumbai, India. After his brief presentation on Peace TV, he has been invited to give talks on Islam in different parts of the world, including Saudi Arabia, UAE, Kuwait, Qatar, Oman, Bahrain, Nigeria, Uganda, and so many more countries. Along with the former worldly education, he aims to specialize in Islamic sciences. He hopes to, inshallah, follow in his father's footsteps and excel in da'wah work. Sheikh Farid Naik has completed his Arabic language diploma and bachelor's degree in Sharia from Imam Muhammad ibn Saud al-Islamiyah in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. He has completed his master's in fiqh and usul al-fiqh, the fundamentals of fiqh, from the International Islamic University of Malaysia. Sheikh Farid Naik is an inspiration for the youth, being the youngest regular speaker on Peace TV. He appears on Peace TV in the weekly program Teen Star, besides assisting his father in his da'wah activities. He also handles live weekly Q&A sessions, Ask Sheikh Farid Naik on Peace TV, and conducts Islamic courses on Peace TV on Al Hidayah platform. Now on, I would like to invite Sheikh Farid Naik to the stage to give his talk titled The Liberator, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, The Liberator of the Humanity. Nitapenda kumkaribisha speaker au mzungumzaji wa kwanza leo hii ambaye ni mtoto wa Dr. Zakir Naik, Sheikh Farid Naik, ambaye atazungumzia mada inayoitwa Mtume Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mtu wa mapinduzi katika ulimwengu. Sheikh Farid Naik is with us in the hall. Please welcome to the stage.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatil alamin. Rabbi shrah li sadri وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ أُقْدَةَ مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. I would request the audio technician if you can reduce the echo of the monitor speakers, please. My respected elders and my dear brothers and sisters, I welcome all of you with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace, mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Almighty God, be upon all of you. If you can reduce the echo, there is too much echo. Audio technician, if you can reduce the echo of the monitor speakers. Can you reduce the echo? Reduce the echo. The topic of my talk is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the liberator of humanity. It is a pleasure and an honor to be in Tanzania and in Dar es Salaam. I start my talk with a quotation from the glorious Quran, from Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter number 21, verse number 107. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةِ الْعَالَمِينَ. That we have sent thee not but as a mercy to all the worlds, as a mercy to all the creatures, as a mercy to the whole of humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, in Surah Al-Saba, chapter number 34, verse number 28. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ illa kaffatan linnas bashiran wa nadhira walakin akthara an-nas la ya'lamun. That we have sent thee not but as a universal messenger, giving glad tidings and warning men against sin, but most of them did not understand. Since Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was the last and final messenger, he was not sent only for the Muslims or only for the Arabs, but he was sent for the whole of humanity. He was a mercy to the whole of humanity. He is the person who liberated humanity from darkness to light. I would like to share with you an incident regarding Suhail bin Amr. Suhail bin Amr, he was sent by the Quraysh to negotiate with the Prophet, peace be upon him, before the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. To negotiate with the Prophet, peace be upon him, for the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Now Suhail bin Amr, he was an international negotiator. He had been to the Roman Empire, to the Persian Empire. He had been to Abyssinia. Now when he went to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and when he interacted with the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Sahaba, he was shocked with how the Sahabas, they loved and respected our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And when he goes back to the Quraysh, he tells them that I have seen the Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, Abyssinia, I have seen the leader of the Roman Empire, of the Persian Empire, but no followers love and respect their leader so much the way the Sahabas love and respect the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. Suhail bin Amr, being a non-Muslim, he was impressed with how the Sahabas, they loved and respected our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. I would like to share with you another incident which signifies the epitome of the mercy of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, which signifies the pinnacle of the mercy of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. Thumama of Yamama, he was responsible for the killing of several Muslims when the Muslims went to war. So Thumama of Yamama, he was responsible for killing of several Muslims. Now the Sahaba, they capture Thumama and they get him to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he asks Thumama, what should be done with you? So Thumama, he gives the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, three options. The first, that if you kill me, you have the right to do so. The second, if you accept ransom, then you can take my entire kingdom as a ransom. The third, if you free me, I will be grateful to you for my entire life. So the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he orders the Sahaba to offer Thumama a bowl of milk. Thumama, he drinks this bowl of milk and he starts licking his lips. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, tells the Sahaba to give Thumama another bowl of milk. He drinks the second bowl of milk and he starts licking his lips. The Prophet, peace be upon him, orders the Sahaba, tells the Sahaba to give another bowl of milk, the third bowl of milk. Thumama drinks the third bowl of milk and he starts licking his lips. Until Thumama is given seven bowls of milk and he's satisfied. The next day, the Prophet, peace be upon him, asks Thumama the same question. He asks Thumama, what should be done with you? Thumama, he repeats the three conditions, that if you kill me, you have the right to do so. If you accept ransom, you can take my entire kingdom as a ransom. And the third, if you free me, I will be grateful to you for my entire life. The Prophet, peace be upon him, tells the Sahabas to give Thumama a bowl of milk. He drinks it and he starts licking his lips. Then the Sahaba, they give Thumama the second bowl of milk. He finishes it and starts licking his lips. The Sahaba, they give Thumama the third bowl of milk, the fourth bowl of milk, until Thumama drinks seven bowls of milk and he's satisfied. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, goes away. The third day, the Prophet, peace be upon him, again comes to Thumama and asks him, what should be done with you? He repeats the three conditions, that if you kill me, you have the right to do so. If you accept ransom, you can take my entire kingdom as a ransom. And if you free me, I will be grateful to you my entire life. Thumama is offered the first bowl of milk, the second bowl of milk, the third bowl of milk, until Thumama drinks seven bowls of milk. And on the third day, after Thumama drinks seven bowls of milk, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he tells Thumama, go away, for you are free. Thumama, he's shocked. I have killed several Muslims, and when I'm captured, I am let free only after 3 days. After going away, he comes back to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And what does Thumama do? He recites the Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness that there is no God except Allah, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a servant and a messenger. Thumama, he embraces Islam. He's shocked. He's impressed with how the Prophet, peace be upon him, dealt with him, that he embraces Islam. And further on, Thumama, he says, the worst face of any human being on the face of the earth before I embraced Islam, it was the face of our beloved Prophet Muhammad. It was the face of Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. But after I have embraced Islam, the best face of any human being, it is the face of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. The worst city before I embraced Islam, it was the city of Medina. But after I have embraced Islam, the best city for me, it is the city of Medina. The worst religion before I embraced Islam, it was the religion of Islam. But after I have embraced Islam, the best religion, it is the religion of Islam. Many a times we do not realize that our character, the way we deal with people, it will lead to them being impressed with Islam. The way the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, dealt with Thumama, with mercy, which led to Thumama embracing Islam. We have several non-Muslims who have revered and praised our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. We have the example of Michael H. Hart. He writes in his book, The 100 Most Influential Human Beings on the Face of the Earth. And out of all the human beings in human history, he gives our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the number one position. Michael H. Hart, being a non-Muslim, being a Christian, he ranks our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the number one. He gives him the number one position out of all the people in human history. And he gives his reasoning and he says that Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he was the only human being who was supremely successful on both fronts, the religious front as well as the secular front. We have other non-Muslims who have revered and praised our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. We have the example of Lamartine. He says that if greatness of purpose, smallness of means, and astounding results are the three criteria to judge a man's genius, who can dare to compare himself to Muhammad? Referring to Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And Lamartine, he says that he is a philosopher, an orator, a warrior, a legislator, an apostle, the conqueror of ideas, the restorer of rational dogma for a cult without imagery, the conqueror of 20 earthly empires and one spiritual empire. This is Muhammad. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. This is Lamartine, being a non-Muslim. He's praising our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He's describing him with so many qualities. We have the example of Edward Gibbon, a famous British historian. He says, the greatest success of Muhammad's life, it was affected by sheer moral force without the stroke of a sword. So we realize non-Muslims, they have praised and revered our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. As far as today's talk is concerned, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the liberator of humanity, I have divided it into 5 subtopics. The first is the hikmah, the wisdom of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. The second is how the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, dealt with children. The third is how the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, liberated the Arabs from darkness to light. The fourth is how the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, as a da'i. And the fifth is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as Al-Amin, that is the trustworthy. First, we'll discuss the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, the wisdom, the hikmah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he fought against oppression and injustice. This was in the Medinan, in the period of Medina, wherein the wars took place. But the first 13 years of prophethood in the Meccan period, even though the Prophet and the Sahaba, they were tortured and persecuted, yet they bore it with patience. They had sabr, that is patience. They did not retaliate. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he knew that these are the early stages of da'wah, of propagating the message of Islam. So the approach was to be patient. The Muslims, they were few in number. So the test for the Sahaba was to be patient. And there are several incidences wherein the Prophet and the Sahaba, they were tortured and persecuted, but they did not give up on Islam. They bore it with patience. We have the example of Ammar bin Yasir, radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him.
He was tortured to the extent that he was tortured in front of his own mother, Sumayya radiallahu anha. May Allah have mercy on her. May Allah be pleased with her. And Sumayya radiallahu anha, she was tortured and persecuted, but yet she did not give up on Islam. She did not give up on Tawheed. And Sumayya, she was radiallahu anha, she was killed in front of her own son Ammar bin Yasir. May Allah be pleased with him. And she was the first martyr from among the women. And the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, when he was passing by the family of Ammar bin Yasir, he tells Ammar radiallahu anhu, Sabran ya ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakumul jannah. Patience, O family of Yasir, for your abode it is paradise. We have the example of Bilal radiallahu anhu. He was tortured and persecuted by his master Umayyah bin Khalf to the extent that he was taken and made to lie down on the hot sand in the scorching heat, and a large rock was placed on his chest, and he was asked, or rather he was told and compelled, to leave the religion of Islam. He was asked, who is your God? And the words that he uttered in this situation, while he was lying on the hot sand with a large rock being placed on his chest, the words that he uttered were, Ahadun Ahad. There is only one God. There is only one God. This is the iman. This is the unwavering faith that our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, instilled in the Sahaba, that come what may, they did not give up on Tawheed. That is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was preparing the Sahaba to have this unwavering, unshakable faith. And they were patient during this Meccan period. So we have several such examples. And this was from the hikmah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. It was a training period for the Sahaba. We have the example of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. It was a one-sided treaty. The Sahaba, they came to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and they told him that, why are we compromising with the Quraysh? Are we not on the haq? Are we not on the truth? It was a one-sided treaty. But yet the Prophet, peace be upon him, he signed this treaty. The Prophet, peace be upon him, agreed to the terms of this treaty. It was an opportunity to do da'wah for this long period of time. And when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed, the Sahaba, they were approximately 1400 in number. But 2 years later, within 2 years, the Sahaba, they were approximately 10,000 in number. This was the hikmah, this was the wisdom of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. It was a great opportunity to spread the message of Islam. And after 2 years, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, came and he conquered, he returned back to Makkah. The people of Makkah, the Quraysh and the non-Muslims, they were worried that this Prophet is coming with 10,000 people and is returning back to Makkah. They were worried that what will the Prophet, peace be upon him, do with these non-Muslims, these very non-Muslims who drove our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, out of his house, who tortured and persecuted the Prophet and the Sahaba. But what was the Prophet's approach when he returned back to Makkah? The Prophet, peace be upon him, announces, and the Sahabas, they announce as well, all those in Abu Sufyan's house are safe. All those in the precincts of the Kaaba are safe. All those in their houses are safe. And on this very day, our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, what does he tell these non-Muslims? What does he tell these people who tortured and persecuted him? اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء. Go away, for you are free. This was the mercy of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. He was the liberator of humanity. He forgave those people who tortured and persecuted him. He forgave those people who drove him out of his house, which in turn led to many more people embracing Islam because they were impressed with how the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, dealt with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 269, يُؤْتِي الْحِكْمَةَ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُؤْتِي الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. That Allah gives hikmah, wisdom, to whom He wills. And whosoever has been granted wisdom, he has been given something that is very great. He has been given something that is very great and very good. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was far-sighted. He had hikmah, he had wisdom. The steps that he took, they were wise steps. And they were filled with hikmah and with wisdom. Now let's discuss how the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, dealt with children. It is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume number 3, hadith number 2409, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum masoolan an ra'iyati. Each one is a shepherd and each one is responsible for his flock. The man is a shepherd and he is responsible for his family, to take care of his family. The woman, she as a mother is responsible to take care of the children and the things related to the household. So each one has his own responsibility and he needs to take care and fulfill his responsibilities. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, when he used to return from his travels, the children, they used to come running to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, in order to hug and embrace him. The children, they loved the company of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. There's a hadith of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, which is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, hadith volume number 8, hadith number 5997. The incident is regarding Hassan bin Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, and Al-Aqra ibn Habis al-Tamimi, may Allah be pleased with him. And they were sitting in the company of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. And Al-Aqra ibn Habis, he tells our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, that I have 10 children and I have not kissed any one of them. So our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, tells him, Man la yarham la yurham. The one who does not have mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not have mercy on him. The one who does not have mercy on people, the one who does not have mercy on children, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not have mercy on this person. Anas radiallahu anhu, his younger brother was in a bad mood because his bird had passed away. And regarding this, it is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume number 8, hadith number 6203. Sahih al-Bukhari, volume number 8, hadith number 6203. Ya Aba Umayr, ma fa'ala Nughayr. O Aba Umayr, what has the little bird done? Nughayr refers to a bird, a small bird. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he knew that Anas radiallahu anhu, his younger brother, was in a bad mood because his bird had passed away. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, asked him regarding the bird. So this young boy, he burst out laughing and he snapped out of his misery. Imagine the Prophet, peace be upon him, he being the Prophet of Allah, he took out time for children. And he addressed this young boy when the bird of this young boy passed away. And we have several such examples. We have the example wherein our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, he shortened the Fajr Salah. Once he happened to shorten the Fajr Salah and he led Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas in the two rakah. And after he completed the Salah, the Sahaba, they asked our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, that why did he shorten the Salah? The Sunnah, and normally when the Prophet, peace be upon him, led the Fajr Salah, it used to be long. So the Sahabas, they asked our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, why did he shorten the Fajr Salah? So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he tells the Sahaba that I heard a child was crying and I was worried that the mother would be worried for her child and would not be able to concentrate in the Salah. That's the reason I shortened the Salah. Imagine our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, for one child who was crying, he shortened the Salah. And unfortunately, many of us people today, we do not want children to go to the masjid. Many a times when children are standing in the saf, they are being pushed behind, unfortunately. We should encourage our children to go to the masjid. The parents should see to it. The father should see to that he takes his son to the masjid, so that from a young age they are trained to be regular as far as Salah is concerned. It is mentioned in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 2022, that a young boy, he was eating food and he was picking food from here and there. He was trying to reach the food. For example, if the food was on his right side and on his left side, he was not eating what is close to him, but he was trying to reach what is far away from him. So Prophet, peace be upon him, gently tells him, Ya Ghulam, O young boy, Sammillaha, take the name of Allah when you're eating food. Wakul bi yameenika, and eat with your right hand. Wakul mimma yaleek, and eat what is close to you. So Prophet, peace be upon him, did not get angry on this child, but rather he told him gently, he advised him in a gentle manner. The children, when they used to see our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, they used to rejoice, they used to be happy, and they loved to be in the company of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. Now inshallah we will discuss how our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, liberated the Arabs from darkness to light. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, came to deliver the message to the Arabs, this period, it was known as Ayyamul Jahiliyyah, the days of ignorance. Idol worship was prevalent, superstitions were prevalent, many evil practices were prevalent. There were no less than 360 idols in the Kaaba and the area surrounding the Kaaba. The Prophet, peace be upon him, came in such despicable conditions. The people, they were so ignorant that they used to perform tawaf around the Kaaba naked. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, wanted to liberate these people from darkness to light. Liberate them from what? Liberate them from superstition, from injustice, from idol worship, to the freedom of thought and action, to the light of Islam, towards worshipping one God alone. And the primary requirement for liberation, it is acquiring knowledge. The first commandment given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the glorious Quran, it was not to offer salah, it was not to give zakah, it was not to perform hajj, but it was iqra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Surah Al-Alaq, chapter number 96, verse number 1, iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read, recite, proclaim in the name of thy Lord who has created you. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, said, it is mentioned in Sunan Ibn Majah, hadith number 224, talabul ilmi fariidatun ala kulli muslim. Seeking knowledge is obligatory upon every single Muslim. Whether that person be a man or a woman, acquiring knowledge is compulsory upon every Muslim. And the knowledge we acquire, we should see to it that it takes us closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the knowledge that we acquire does not take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this knowledge, it is useless. It is of no use. So acquiring knowledge is very important. Islam gave women their due rights 1400 years ago. In a land where female feticide and female infanticide, it was common. In Arabia, when a female child was born, they used to bury her alive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16, verse 58 and 59, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ضَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونَ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ عَلَى سَاءَ مَا يَزِرُونَ. That when news is brought to them about a female infant child, their face darkens and they are filled with inner grief. With shame, should they hide it from the people or should they bury it into the dust? Ah, what an evil they decide upon. The glorious Quran not only prohibits the killing of female infant children, it even rebukes the thought of a person becoming sad on the news of a female infant child. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, after the revelation of the glorious Quran, this evil practice has stopped in the Arab lands. But yet abortion is common in certain parts of the world. People, when they come to know they have a female child, they want to abort the child. This is prohibited in Islam. And when the glorious Quran was revealed, it rebuked this act. And alhamdulillah, this has stopped in the Arab lands. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he liberated the Arabs from these dirty practices, from their superstitious beliefs, from worshipping idols, from burying female children alive, and brought them towards the noor of Islam, towards the light of Islam, towards Tawheed, that is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Arabs, they were looked down upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through these very Arabs, he makes these people as Sahaba, who were torchbearers of the world. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he liberated the Arabs from darkness to light. I would like to share with you a classical example. In 1930, the American government, they banned the consumption of alcohol. But what did it lead to? People, they could not bear it. They were so much immersed into having alcohol. The prisons were filled. At least half a billion and more, in fact, billions of dollars, in fact, were spent into trying to curb the consumption of alcohol. Prisons were full. Bootlegging became common. People, they were yet having alcohol. 4 years later, because of the pressure, the American government, they had to lift the ban on alcohol, and alcohol was allowed again. And I would like to remind you, we are talking about America, wherein people claim it is one of the most advanced countries in the world, and they could not continue with the ban on alcohol. All of their efforts proved futile. Now, let's roll back time 1400 years ago when the glorious Quran was revealed. We know that before alcohol was prohibited, the people, they used to have alcohol, and it was very prevalent. They used to have it in their houses. It was stored in their houses in jugs and in other containers. It was very prevalent. They used to have it very often, just as a normal drink. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter number 5, verse number 19, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you believe, innamal khamru wal maisiru, most certainly intoxicants and gambling, wal ansab wal azlam, dedication of stones, divination of arrows, ritsum min amal shaitan, are an abomination from Satan's handiwork. Fajtanibuhu la'allakum tuflihun, abstain from such handiwork that you may prosper. The moment this verse was revealed prohibiting alcohol, the Sahaba, they immediately stopped having alcohol. Barrels of alcohol were overturned to the extent that the streets of Medina were filled with alcohol. The containers were overturned, never to be filled again. Some Sahaba, when they heard regarding this commandment, even though they drank alcohol, they tried to induce vomit to try to remove it. Immediate obedience. One verse of the glorious Quran, and the Sahabas, they immediately followed. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he did not have any police force. He did not have any security. But one verse of the glorious Quran was sufficient to drive the entire nation, all of the Sahabas, from abstaining from alcohol, totally giving up alcohol. This is the impact that the glorious Quran has. This is what is true liberation. America, people claim it is one of the most advanced countries in the world. For 4 years, they tried to ban alcohol. With all of their efforts putting in, spending in billions of dollars, yet it proved futile. And one verse of the glorious Quran was sufficient for the Sahaba to give up alcohol. This is true liberation. And alhamdulillah, today we Muslim as a community, we are the largest community of teetotalers who do not have alcohol. The Prophet, peace be upon him, liberated the Arabs from the clutches of slavery, idol worship, towards the light of Islam, towards Tawheed, that is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's discuss Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, as a da'i. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, in Surah Al-Fusilat, chapter number 41, verse number 33, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is better in speech than the one who calls others towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, works righteousness, and says that I am a Muslim. The best profession that any human being can take is the profession of conveying the message of Islam. It is the profession of a da'i. And all the prophets of Almighty God, their primary goal, it was inviting others towards the fold of Islam. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he had the best character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter number 33, verse 21. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verily, in the messenger of Allah, you have a beautiful pattern of behavior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Surah Al-Qalam, chapter number 68, verse number 4. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. For verily, thou art in the highest standard of character. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his character, it was like a walking Quran. Non-Muslims, they were impressed with his character, with his behavior. The Prophet, peace be upon him, spent several years in doing da'wah, calling his people towards the fold of Islam. The Quraysh, they were angry and they were bloodthirsty, and they wanted to harm our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. But before this, they tried some strategies in order to convince him to stop propagating the message of Islam. The Quraysh, they came to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and they told him that we will make you the richest man in Arabia. We will make you our leader. We will marry you to the best of women. But you give up propagating the message of Islam. If the Prophet, peace be upon him, wanted, he could have been the richest man in Arabia. He could have been the leader, the king at that time. But he declined their offer. And what did he tell them? In fact, they came to the Prophet, peace be upon him's uncle, Abu Talib, and they told him that tell your nephew to stop propagating this message of Islam. He's talking against our gods. So Abu Talib, he goes to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and he tells him that, oh my nephew, the leaders of Quraysh, they are pressurizing me and they are telling me to tell you that to stop propagating the message of Islam. So what was the response of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him? He said that even if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, yet I will not give up propagating the message of Islam. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he did not want worldly things. He was concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was worried of his ummah, that he could sacrifice for his ummah. And he always prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cried in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide his people and so that they embrace Islam. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he sent letters to different kings of the world, calling them towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling them towards Tawheed. Some of the kings, they even tore these letters in which verses of the glorious Quran were revealed. But yet this did not discourage our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, from delivering the message of Islam. And because of the efforts of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, and the Sahaba, we see that alhamdulillah, today Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. The Prophet, peace be upon him, the Sahabas, they strived and struggled and they dedicated their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Tawheed. And alhamdulillah, because of that, Islam has reached today and it is the fastest growing religion in the world. And we see people in Europe, in America, in the Western countries, even though the media is maligning Islam, yet non-Muslims, they're embracing Islam into large numbers. Why? Because Islam has a solution to the problems of humanity. So the best profession that any human being can take, it is the profession of conveying the message of Islam to the non-Muslims, to those who are unaware of it. Now inshallah, we'll discuss the last subtopic, which is Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, as Al-Amin, that is the trustworthy. Our Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter number 23, verse number 8. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. And those who fulfill their trusts and their covenants. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he was known as Al-Amin, that is the trustworthy. Even before prophethood, he was known for his honesty and for his truthfulness. He did not utter a lie in his life. He was known for his truthfulness and for his honesty. And the Quraysh, even though they were his enemies, yet they trusted him. And when our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, once there was a flood that almost destroyed the Kaaba. And the Kaaba had to be restored, and the black stone also had to be put into its designated position. So the tribes, they were fighting amongst themselves that who will place the black stone in its position, which almost led to a war that was about to take place between the tribes. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he comes up with an idea, and the people, they agree with this, that the next person who will come to the precincts of the Kaaba first, he will be the one to judge regarding who will place the black stone. So it happens that the next day, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he is the first one who comes to the precincts of the Kaaba. And the people, when they see him, they are happy. They say, Al-Amin, the trustworthy has come. We will abide by what he says. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he orders a person from each tribe to hold a large piece of cloth. The black stone was placed on this cloth, and it was taken close to its designated position. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, lifted the black stone from the cloth and placed it into its designated position. In this way, the people, they were happy and they were content. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, prevented a war that was about to take place between the tribes. The Prophet, peace be upon him, he migrated to Yathrib, which is known as Medina. Previously it was called as Yathrib. The Quraysh, they wanted the Kuffar of Makkah, they wanted to kill our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And they were plotting to kill him. And they picked up people from different tribes in order to kill our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, so that the blame would not be on anyone. If there are people from different tribes, who would the blame go to? And they approached the house of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in order to kill him. And what happens? They enter the house and they find Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, he's lying on the bed of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, ready to give his life for the sake of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And when our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, migrated to Medina, people had entrusted things with our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They trusted our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. These enemies, even though they were enemies of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, yet they kept things with our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, as safety. The Prophet, peace be upon him, asked Ali radiallahu anhu to return all of these things that were entrusted to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that were given by his enemies. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he was trustworthy. He was Al-Amin. He returned back all the things that were kept with him as a trust to his enemies. This is called as truthfulness. This is called as honesty. For liberation, a person needs to be truthful. A person needs to be honest. A person needs to be merciful. And all of these qualities were found in our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That's the reason He was the liberator of humanity. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was tortured and persecuted in Makkah, and he goes to Taif in hope that people will pay heed to the message. But the people of Taif, they stone him. And he's forced to go towards the mountains. And he is bleeding profusely. His shoes are filled with blood. And Archangel Jibreel comes to him and tells him that if you wish, O Prophet of Allah, I can crush the people of Taif between the two mountains because of what they've done to you. The Prophet, peace be upon him, what was his response? He was a rahmatul lil alameen. He was a mercy for humanity. What was the response? He says, do not do it. For inshallah, from their offspring, there will be people who will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who will believe in the religion of Islam. And today we see in Taif, majority of the people, they are Muslims. Because of the efforts of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. In Makkah, in Medina, in Taif, majority of the people, they are Muslims. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was a mercy for humanity. And he always wanted good for his ummah, for his people. So let our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, let the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, be our role model. Let his aim be our aim. Let his aspiration be our aspiration. Let his vision be our vision. Let his mission be our mission. Let his goal be our goal. Let his destination be our destination. He is our role model. And our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, during the final sermon, what does he tell to the people? The Sahabas, they were crying. They knew that this is the time wherein the death of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is close. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, he tells the Sahaba that all those who are present here should deliver the message to those who are absent. And then he tells the Sahaba, Allahumma fashhad. He tells the Sahabas that do you bear witness that I have delivered the message? So they say yes. And then the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Allahumma fashhad. O Allah, you are a witness that I have delivered the message to my people. So the Sahabas, these are the people who were torch bearers of the world, who carried on the legacy of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him. After the death of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we had the Khulafa al-Rashidun, the four rightly guided caliphs, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman, and Hazrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with them. And the non-Muslims, they loved to be in under the caliphate of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, the caliphate of the rightly guided caliphs. Non-Muslims, they felt safe. So the Sahabas, they carried on the legacy of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. It is our duty as Muslims that we fulfill our role of conveying the message of Islam to the non-Muslims, to those who are unaware of it. And in Darussalam, there are quite a lot of non-Muslims. It is a good opportunity for us to convey the message of Islam to these non-Muslims, to these people who are unaware of it. I would like to end my talk with the verse of the glorious Quran from Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter number 33, verse number 40. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he is not the father of any of you men, but he's the messenger of Allah and the seal of all prophets. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمًا. And Allah has knowledge of all things. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. جزاكم الله خيرا. بلا شك صوتي تمسكيا ujumbe aliyokuja nao Sheikh Farik Naik kumwelezea bwana mtume sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Indeed, he has done it well, na ameelezea jinsi gani na sisi malengo yetu yawe malengo ya bwana mtume sallallahu alayhi wasallam, na kazi yetu iwe kama kazi ya bwana mtume Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hivi sasa kwa ufupi tutaelekea ratiba zetu za mwisho mwishoni, ambayo ratiba inayofuata ni utaratibu wa sala. Kwanza break fupi kwa ajili ya sala, kisha baada ya break fupi kwa ajili ya sala tutaingia kwenye lecture ya mwisho, ambayo ni lecture ya Sheikh Dr. Zakir Naik, ambayo biidhnillah tunakusudia ianze saa 3 kamili. Kwa hiyo tuna dakika 12, kama tutazidisha ni dakika 5 tu katika ratiba hiyo. Lakini utaratibu wa sala, wanawake wana upande wa nyuma hapa, watasali upande wa nyuma, lakini wanaume wana upande wa sehemu ya parking, kuna mikeka kwa ajili ya sala kwa wale ambao hawajasali sala ya Isha, na tunaomba tufanye haraka katika hilo ili tuweze kuendelea na ratiba inayofuata. Tafadhali karibuni wanaume na wanawake, mwelekee katika sehemu zilizoelekezwa kwa ajili ya sala. I would like to say to all of you that the female side, the prayer female side, they have to pray at the back stage, the back side of the hall, and male have to go on the parking side where they can